Well, it's good to see all of you this morning. How many of you read chapter 1? Okay, that's almost good. Thank you. That's great. Here's the big question. How many of you also read the preface and the introduction? Now, that's even better. The preface and the introduction really set you up for this book. And it's going to be a great study. How many of you agree already? Can't wait to go through the scriptures with you. And what a great beginning to our Believe series last week with Pastor Jeff's introduction message. Wasn't that great? Not only was it one of his best messages, it may well be the best one in this series. I'm not sure it's going to get any better than that. If you were here, you will recall Pastor Jeff called us to commitment. And he exhorted us to move from being believers to becoming believers. Not just holding beliefs, but living what we believe. If you are not here, you can catch that message online at MuhammadChristian.org, and I highly suggest you do. I hope you have read chapter 1 in our book for the series Believe, and if you haven't yet, you can pick a book up in the foyer as you leave today. They are still available. I'm excited about this whole series because it's going to take us deeper into what we believe as well as call us to take action. Believing is one thing. Living what we believe all too often is another. It's going to be an exciting 30-week journey as we share 10 core doctrines of the Christian faith, as well then as 10 central virtues and 10 key practices of the Christian faith. All of them designed to help us to think, to act, and to be more like Jesus. So, if you read chapter 1, you know that my assignment is to tell you all I know about God. Take a look at this video of some people who were asked the question, "Who is God?"
Hey there, River Point. We are out here today asking people what they think about God.
I'm not saying there isn't one, but I don't... There could be, there might be, but I don't think there is one, but there might be. I don't know.
Okay, so maybe, maybe not. Yeah. We're not really sure. Yeah, think anybody can be sure? Is that possible? Or are you taking the stance that no one can know?
Right now, I feel that nobody can know, yeah.
So who do you think God is? Like, describe him to me.
He goes by many names. Allah, God... There's many names for him.
God, no God.
No God.
Complete atheist?
Not complete. I don't believe in the God from the Bible.
He can be called it lie. He can be called Buddha. He can be called anything.
Buddha's not technically a God. Buddha's a spirit. Well, that's
God's
spirit
God.
Of God. That's spirit of God.
It's the spirit of God.
It's everywhere. God is everywhere.
I believe, you know, one way or another, all gods are the same. It just... how we put the perspective on it, but the concept of God, that's how I look at it.
So we might have different perspectives on God. We're both right, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
God is a belief system, and it makes you feel spiritually whole, whereas the real world can exist in a different form, like evolution.
I mean, I just kind of think he's more there to kind of give you a guide to be a good person, really.
I believe in evolution, so whatever the...
That's kind of your God, then.
Sure. If there is a God, but...
I don't think that there's nothing there. I don't know what's out there, but... So, I don't know.
It's kind of more agnostic. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Where do you go for your source on this kind of information?
Source? I just do what I believe, for the most part.
Where would I grab my information from? Just my heart.
Okay. Great.
Just basically what I believe. For
awesome.
The most part.
Well, hey, thanks for sharing with us, man.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate your opinion. Thank you.
If you were asked, who is God, what would you say? Who is God? Wow. That's so big. Where do you even start? Well, it's always best, of course, to start at the beginning. So get comfortable. Today I'm going to take you from Genesis to the Revelation. Actually, I'm not. Had you worried though, didn't I? But we are going to start with Genesis to get us going. Last week, a few of us gathered in this sanctuary to watch the movie, God's Not Dead. The plot of the movie revolves around a student named Josh Wheaton. Josh enters an introduction to philosophy course taught by Hercules, Kevin Sorbo, in the film, of course, Professor Jeffrey Radisson. Professor Radisson tells his students that to get along in the course and to make it quick and simple and to get a passing grade in his class, they must each write on a sheet of paper three little words, sign it, and turn it in. Those three little words were, God is dead. As all of the other students in the class began immediately to write, Josh just sat in his seat, and when the professor asked him what the problem was, Josh admitted he was a Christian and refused to do it. As a consequence, he has to debate the professor in front of the class. Josh gets 20 minutes after the professor's next three lectures to make his points to prove God is alive. In the first two debates, Josh mostly argues that maybe he can't prove that God exists, but the professor cannot prove he doesn't exist either. But in the final debate, Josh asked Radisson why he hates God so much. And Radisson says angrily, because God let his mother die. To which Josh responds, how can you hate someone who doesn't exist? In the end, most every student stands up and declares, God's not dead. Christian audiences everywhere text it, God's not dead, to millions of people. And somehow, Duck Dynasty even makes a couple of appearances. It is so easy for Christians and non-Christians alike to get hung up on things God isn't too concerned about. Namely, proving his existence. The Bible begins with God, and the Bible ends with God. But there is never a doubt in the Bible regarding the question of God's existence. It is an assumed fact. Think about the very first verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. There's not a question. There's not even a hint of a question regarding God's existence. In the beginning, God. And the rest of the verse says, created the heavens and the earth. It does not say, in the beginning, God was created. It does not say, in the beginning, God evolved. It does not say, in the beginning, bang, and there was God. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's a given that God was there and that He created the heavens and the earth. And the heavens and the earth declare His glory. There's no question about it. Moses did not think. Moses did not write. If there is a God, He must be the one who created the world. In the beginning, God. John wrote in the first verse of his gospel account, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God told Moses, I am, not I became. I am. We just sang about God Almighty, the great I am. So I'm not here this morning, nor will any time in this series we try to prove God exists, because he does. He always has. He always will. John later wrote in the last book of the Bible, in the first chapter, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4, about God, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come. I love that. John reminds us God was present in the past, and he is present right now, and he will be present in the future. Not a single thought about whether or not God has existed. So the big question we need to answer is, who is my God? Who, what do I believe in? Who do I worship? Who do I follow? Whom will I serve? There have always been many gods with little g's. From ancient to modern times, people believe in many different gods. Temples are built to many gods all over the world. Feasts are held to honor and appease many gods. Pilgrimages are taken to meet many gods. In Ephesus, there were so many gods, they had built an idol to the unknown god, unless they had forgotten one. My wife, as most of you know, is a travel agent. A number of years ago, she and the company she's working for actually wrote airline tickets for a group of people going to Mount Shasta to meet the Egyptian goddess Isis on her return. As almost comical as that is, it was really kind of funny trying to convince Golden Sunflower that she could not travel by that name. We need the name that's on your driver's license to get on an airplane, but that's not my name. I am Golden Sunflower. Another said, I am Maiden of the Dawn, and another, Evening Breeze. And they were all flying to Mount Shasta to meet the goddess Isis. And this is the 21st century. There has always been a general belief in gods. The question was and is, which God? Which God do you believe in? I don't believe in any. Well, yes, you do. Remember the guy that said, I don't believe in God, I believe in evolution. So evolution is your God? Yeah, sure. If there is a God, that's it. The story is told of a farmer who hired a man to work for him. He told him his first task would be to paint the barn. He said it should take him about 3 days to complete it, but the hired man finished painting the barn in one day. The farmer was impressed, so he set him to his next chore of cutting wood, telling him it would require about 4 days to cut all the wood, but the hired man finished that task in just a day and a half. The next task was to sort out a large pile of potatoes. He was to arrange them into three piles. Pile one would be seed potatoes. Pile two would be potatoes that would be food for the pigs. And pile three would be the potatoes that were good enough to sell. The farmer said it was really a small job and shouldn't take very long at all. At the end of the day, the farmer came back and he found this hired man had barely started the task. When the farmer asked what was the matter, the hired man said, I can work hard, but I can't make decisions. In Joshua chapter 24, his challenge to the people of Israel who had just come out of Egypt and about to enter the promised land, his challenge to them was not to choose if they believe in God or not, but rather to choose which God they will serve. It's amazing to me, the very first commandment God gave Moses was what? Thou shalt have no other gods, little g, before me. Now think about that. That commandment was not for God's benefit. God knows there are no other gods but Him. But God also knows us. He knew we always choose to serve someone or something. The Egyptians had their gods, the Amorites had their gods, and we have our gods too. Some believe in the god of sports. If there's a game, that comes first. If the weather's nice, that comes first. If they stayed up too late and put too much Saturday night into their Sunday morning, sleep comes first. If they can get away for the weekend, that comes first. If they can make an excuse for anything, that comes first. And that's just to avoid worship. There are the other gods we worship on a daily basis, like power, control, greed, possessions, anger, jealousy, and that list goes on and on. Joshua was calling his people to make a decision that day, to choose whether they would serve the Lord. The Lord their God, who had already blessed them in so many incredible, miraculous ways, or choose some other God. The God of the Egyptians, whose land they just left. The God of the Amorites, whose land they were going to be living in. The gods of their ancestors beyond the Euphrates. But choose who you will serve. Don't choose if you believe in a God or not. Of course you do. Choose which one you will serve. So, our question about God this morning is not does He exist, but whether will you serve Him? Because if you don't serve Him, you will serve somebody. And the New Testament makes it clear to us you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money, for example, he says. Either you will love one and hate the other, or you'll love the other and hate the one. So choose who you will serve. That's what the first chapter of this study is really all about. And if you read this week, you read about our understanding of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You read about His activity in creation. And about God's commandment to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Does that sound like God wants us to love Him on a weekend basis? I want you to love me with every part of your being. I want you to serve me. Before the days of Abraham, men had turned to serve other gods. In the days of Joshua, the neighboring peoples had their own gods. And the false idols were thought to control everything from the weather to the crops to even bearing children. It was tempting to trust, to worship, to fear, to honor these gods. You see, even for those of us who got the big decision right, even for those of us who at some time in our lives placed our faith in Jesus Christ, put our lives into God's hands, even for us, there are still lots of decisions we have to make. Decisions that take us closer to God or take us farther from Him. Decisions that show our devotion to God or a preference for the things our culture says are important. As Christians, we face daily choices. Do I do this thing even though I know it's wrong? Do I let my mind harbor thoughts that I really should not be thinking about? Do I make the effort to spend time with God today in prayer, in Bible reading, in quietness? Do I allow the small bad things that happen to me to become big things that just ruin my day? Do I take my anger out on those around me? We face all kinds of choices that tell us and tell the world around us just what kind of people we are. What is the number one reason people give for not wanting to go to church? You can say it. Hypocrites. There's a bunch of hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? One that says one thing and does another. One who believes, says, and tells everybody believes in God, but lives just like everybody else. We choose this day and every day who we will serve. When I watched God Is Not Dead for the second time here last week, two thoughts ran through my mind. Number one, at that age, if I were in that class, what would I have done? It's no big deal. I mean, just write it, get the class over with, get a passing grade. Who will know? God. Well, but everybody else is doing it. Nobody would have thought less of me. In fact, what about his girlfriend? What happened there, you remember? Yeah, she dumped him. And if I remember that conversation and the other conversations, well, she was a Christian too. And I couldn't help but think, why aren't you taking this stand for God as well? We tell the world around us every day just what kind of people we are. My prayer is we're not telling them we are hypocrites. We choose this day and every day who we will serve. And sometimes we choose to serve ourselves. I love that last guy on the video. Oh, I just do what I believe. Well, where do you get your information on what you believe? Oh, just whatever I think. Man, that's pretty convenient God, isn't it? Sometimes we choose status or popularity, like Josh's girlfriend. Sometimes we choose to serve sin rather than choosing the God who promises life. If God be for us, who can stand against us? Well, if God's for us, but if we're for God, a lot of people stand against us. I guess what I'm trying to say this morning is this. As we begin this series called Believe, we're challenged right off the bat not to settle in our minds what we think, but to settle in our lives how we will live. If you look at that word believe, be, live, believe. Be a life of what you believe. We're challenged right off the bat to choose who we will serve. So as we begin this journey, I would ask you to join me and millions of others to say with our key thought, I believe the God of the Bible is the one true God, and I choose to serve Him. Jeff asked us to make that commitment last week. Remember the three chairs? Boy, he tossed that one around like a banana, didn't he? Hercules himself. But then we had that old brown chair. Two of them, in fact. And he asked us to just sign a commitment that we will move to that chair, a commitment to not just have a belief in God. As the one girl said, it's a system of beliefs that makes you feel better. makes you feel spiritual. No, it's a way of life. And he asks us to sign that with a silver pen. Those chairs are still out in the foyer, and the silver pen is still there with it if you would like to join us in that commitment that I will live my life letting God sit on the throne, and I will serve Him. Max said 2 weeks ago, and we've been building on it since, choose this day whom you will serve, he said from Joshua's text. But as for me and my family, me and those within the range of my influence, we're making a commitment to do what? We will serve the Lord. I think a question we all need to ask this morning and answer is, will I serve Him with my lips, or will I serve Him with my life? Father God, this morning, Your Word challenges us with the question, how long will we waver between two gods, between two answers? We can't serve this world. We can't serve ourselves. We can't serve what everybody else wants of us and serve You. We need to choose. I pray today we will choose to serve You, really to serve You. We live in the most wonderful land of the world of any time, in my opinion. But this land at this time is in more of a need to bow at the foot of the cross than ever before. And Father, I'm reminded of Your Scripture that does not say, if my people will just scientifically prove to the world I exist, they will follow me. It does not say that if my people will just huddle in their little churches on the weekends, everything will be okay. Your Word says that if Your people who are called by Your name, if we will humble ourselves, if we will pray, if we will turn from our wicked ways, and if we will seek Your face, You will hear from heaven. You will forgive our sin. And You will heal our land. But Father, it begins with us humbling ourselves, of bowing at Your feet again and saying, You are God and we will serve the Lord. Forgive us where we have acknowledged that with our heads but have failed to live it in our lives. Help us to choose. But remind us we must choose wisely. Because to choose to serve You is to choose to take up our cross daily and follow You. So Father, wherever You lead us, whatever You would have us to say or do, wherever You would have us to go, that's the kind of commitment You want from us. Help us this morning to choose whom we will serve. If there is one this morning, Father, who needs to surrender their life to You in complete obedience, in surrender and repentance from sin, be buried with You in Christian baptism and wash that sin away and start a new life, a life filled with Your Spirit, guided and directed by Your Spirit, let's make that decision today. For others, if we need a time of recommitment, we need a time to say it's more than just saying, I believe. It's more than just living a Christian life in church. It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week way of life. Maybe we need to make that time of recommitment. But whatever our decisions are, Father, let's make them today as we choose whom we will serve. In Jesus' name, amen.